You know, Heather, you write so vividly in your own words about how anxiety has seemed to plague you on and off throughout your life, even though you have this life. I mean, you're a professor, you're an author, you're a writer, you're a mom. You seem to hold it all in this, at least appears to be in control. You say that you struggle with anxiety a little bit. How can you relate this concept of feeling like you're guarded to people who may struggle with the same thing, maybe not feeling like they're enough in all of these areas of life?
That is such a great question. I'll tell you, I battled anxiety and depression for 6 years. And even though I was under the care of doctors and medication and also had many, many years of victory, I still regularly deal with really irrational anxiety. I don't know if your listeners are nodding their head like, yes, I have anxiety. A lot of my students at Penn State are suffering from acute anxiety. And so what God has been teaching me is really precious about this toxic mindset I have, that anxiety is my identity. This is who I am. But what I thought when I learned about Jesus's guarding care, one of the ways he guards us is by peace. And I, all year, I've been looking at this facet of the personality of Jesus who indwells us by the Holy Spirit. He is our Prince of Peace. And if you look at Philippians 4:7, that very famous passage that says that, you know, we don't have to be anxious about anything, but the peace of God will guard our heart and minds in Christ Jesus. That verb guard means to come under the military protection of peace. And so all year I've been asking God, Jesus, how does someone whose mind really struggles with anxiety, how do I experience you as my guarding God who is peace? You yourself are my peace. I thought of passages like 2 Thessalonians 3:16, may the God of peace give you peace at all times and in every way. So this is my strategy. I thought, okay, I'm in the fortress of your care, Jesus. I want to picture myself moving from this harassed state to being harmonized because you are the Prince of Peace. And in order to remember that, I pictured what the biblical writers often pictured, and that was the still waters, that Psalm 23, he leads us beside the still waters. So I really began to think, okay, I'm in the fortress of your peace. Even if I'm filled with anxiety today, I know that you are my peace. I can trust you to work out everything that's concerning me. And I began to think, you know, Jesus, you're a calm place within me. And my anxiety began to get better. I know it's not a cure-all, but it really began to get better as I thought about the person of Jesus as my peace.
I circled and starred and folded the pages where you talked about exactly that, which is this living water that you were picturing inside you. Psalm 23 was the first large piece of scripture that I ever memorized. And so I feel like that just became a habit for me as well, as being able to say, okay, there's this peaceful place, there's some still water. And while I'm looking around, I'm trying to find food, or I'm looking around for my next opportunity and start to go crazy, I just have to picture, no, God's just kind of pulling me over here saying, here's this really nice, great place where nothing can attack you, nothing can get to you. It's a still place of water where you can rest.
I love that. Yes. And it's a daily practice mm-hmm. for me. And what helps me is what I tell my daughters. I mean, just the other day, my teen daughter said, Mom, can you text me your tips that you wrote in Guarded? So I said, yes, Sarah. She gives permission for me to talk about her. But I just said, Sarah, picture yourself in the fortress of his care. Know that he is the God of peace. Think about the still waters. And then this is the best advice. I said, listen, our minds might not work right today. Our minds may fail us, you know, because outwardly we're wasting away, our bodies are falling apart, but our soul is kept in God's hand. I said, just let your mind do what it's going to do. You may have anxiety today, but Jesus is still your Prince of Peace. And you know what? It takes the power away from anxiety. I don't fear it anymore because I go to my inner being, which I don't know how it works all theologically, but it feels separate from my mind. Because, you know, think about people who have dementia or Alzheimer's, godly people who their mind is failing them. And I thought, you know, there's a place that is a calm place within me, even if my mind doesn't do exactly what's right today. But, you know, I'll tell you, Joe, over time, my anxiety has really began to heal because I'm able to say, Jesus, you are peace. The more I connect with you, surrender to you, live a crucified life in you, the more my mind obeys. And scripture teaches that. I mean, Romans 12 says that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. And it's a way of putting on the new self, like Paul talks about in Ephesians. So, but again, it's not a cure-all. I've been to many doctors. I know that some listeners may be like, that doesn't work for me. I'm always going to struggle. Well, my encouragement to your listeners is this. Jesus is a person. He's indwelling you by the Holy Spirit. He's called the Prince of Peace. And just think of that still waters and connect with him. And I just pray you begin to experience more and more that fruit of the Spirit, which is peace.
You know, it does seem like it's a habit that we have to train our minds and our souls even to do when we are feeling that pang of anxiety, or maybe we're feeling that chaos kind of start to take control of our mind. In fact, you write about the importance of having God's word written on our hearts and in our minds so that in times of distress, we're not grabbing the Bible, trying to find some scripture that might apply, but we actually have it in our heads already. Talk more about that and why that's important.
Well, a big part of my life, you know, mission, my kind of highest value is God's word. And what I love to do as an educator is help people shape God's word to their life and remember it using images, even using compare contrast, sort of what we know about how people learn. And so when I think, okay, I'm experiencing anxiety, I immediately go to two anchoring verses. You can choose whichever ones you want. I love to go to, you know, Philippians 4. And I just say to myself, the peace of God is guarding my heart. I said, this is not me. This anxiety is not me. The real me is guarded by Christ. And then I use an image. I think of the still waters, just like you were saying, Joe. Or I write down 2 Thessalonians 3:16, because these are easy verses. And that's a beautiful prayer. It just says, may the God of peace give you peace at all times and in every way. I really believe in the power of God's word to transform your mind and strengthen your inner being. I think one of the sources of my anxiety and depression was that I did not know how to inhabit God's word. I didn't know how to let the Holy Spirit teach me and renew my mind by his word. So every day I talk about these verses with my family. I quote them as I'm on the bus or as I'm in the grocery store. And over time, it's really shaped me into the kind of mature woman I always wanted to be, just knowing that I can cling to that truth. But I do have to use images. I love pictures. I do compare, contrast, anything I can do in terms of educating my mind to believe God's word.
I struggle with anxiety as well. I'd like to wake up in the middle of the night and start worrying about things. I don't know if other people do that as well, but a good friend of mine brought to mind that one thing to do that seems to work very well, that kind of writes who God is on your heart and in your mind as well, is just lay there and start with the alphabet and start thinking about what are some characteristics of God that I know are true. Let's start with A. God is almighty. God is bold.
Oh, I
B.
Love that.
God is a counselor. C. God is dynamic. D. E's always hard. God is has an endless supply of love. And to just go through that exercise and knowing these things are true. I know these things are true about the God that I worship. And I find that I can't really get through N. I'm asleep then.
Oh, I love that. I've got to tell my daughter that. You know, one thing we're trying, I don't know if you do this, we keep a journal by the toaster. So when we're having breakfast today, I made them tea and we were munching on our toast for breakfast. And Kate was just a wreck. She had all these things she was worried about. So I said, okay, let's write them in the prayer journal. Let's ask God to move on our behalf. And once we started writing them down, Joe, I said, okay, it's in the journal. It's out of your mind and in the journal. This is God's problem now. You're not allowed to think about this anymore. Because putting it in the journal, you know, that casting your care upon him. And I also said to Kate, okay, when you come home at 3 o'clock, I'm going to go through our list and let's record how God met you there. Like, how did God, I mean, she had real concerns. I mean, she's got tests today. She's worried about, you know, this friendship. She's worried about this, just a lot of, you know, stress. And so we're going to, one of the things we're doing as a family is then reviewing, okay, how did God care for us in this? And then I think, I'm hoping that that's going to help her, you know, manage some of the stress. I don't know. I don't know if anxiety's on the rise. I don't remember being as stressed out as my children are. Do you feel that kids are more
yes.
stressed out than they've ever been? That's what I'm feeling.
Yes.
I don't know.
I have a teenager as well, and I certainly feel that from him, but I feel it more from, I'm a teacher as well, and the freshmen, sophomores don't even seem to have as much as the juniors as they're trying to decide what to do with their lives. And this stress that this is a decision I'm going to have to make. And for the rest of my life, this decision is going to change what I'm doing or who I am. And I just keep saying, you know, things will change. The decisions you make today are going to affect what you do tomorrow or maybe for a couple of years to come. But if your circumstances change, you know, or you choose you're going to get married, you choose this job over that or this major over that, it's not going to put you into this dungeon where you're stuck there for the rest of your life. You know, God is good, and He is making your way, making a life for you every single day. And we can't possibly know what that's going to be, or let that one decision you're making tomorrow on who you're going to ask to the prom affect the rest of your life.
Well, I love that. I mean, we have family mottos. These sound really cheesy, but one of the mottos I was working on today is that all of our mistakes, God remakes. Like, He knows how to remake them to fit into His plan. Like, say you do make a bad decision. Is God not powerful enough to work out everything that concerns you? And, you know, Scripture says that He's able to take all things and align them in conformity to the purpose of His will. So I'm like, we don't have to fear these bad choices anymore. Let's just live in confession and repentance and say, God, take this bad decision or this bad thing and make it into a good thing. And He's able to do that.
Well, it doesn't change the weightiness. It's stressful. And I my heart just goes out to them, of course, because it does feel like this decision, this one decision, is going to alter the course of the rest of my life. And I'd better make it the right way. But I somehow don't think that God's up there saying, oh, check, you messed up. I don't know where you're going, but it's nowhere good. I just can't see that happening.
You know, and it's true. And decision making is so hard. If you really believe that God is guarding your life, taking care of everything concerning you, because that verb in Hebrew is so rich and beautiful, shomer, He carefully watches, carefully protects, and I believe carefully orchestrating. You know, God, it says at the end of Ephesians 2, if you remember from Sita, that God has good works prepared in advance for us to do. And I don't think He wants to keep those things a secret from teens, you know, the ones making a decision. It's so hard though. Sometimes I really struggle with making decisions. That's where the anxiety comes in. And lately I've been saying, okay, which choice helps me love God and love others more? And that's really helped me. It's kept me out of sin, and it's helped me align my path towards, okay, which choice helps me love you, Jesus, more and helps me love other people.